words of Gilbert Gottfried. Whenever I hear about somebody's death, I always think, well, okay, were they on drugs? Were they drinking? Were they way overweight, out of shape, or something? And then you find out, no, none of those are true. Gilbert's family put out a statement saying, "We are heartbroken to announce the passing of our beloved Gilbert Gottfried after a long illness. In addition to being the most iconic voice in comedy, Gilbert was a wonderful husband, brother, friend, and father to his two young children. Although today is a sad day for all of us, please keep laughing as loud as possible in Gilbert's honor." Gilbert was 67. The quote I read was from January of this year. He was talking about Bob Saget. I want to sprinkle jokes in as we go along here today in the style of how Gilbert approached his work. From the 1980s, one of his routines had a setup where he met Jackie Kennedy at a cocktail party, and his joke was, "I went up to her and wanted to break the ice, so I said, 'Do you remember where you were when you heard that JFK was shot?'" Right? It's funny. It's horrific. It's all that. And I think that sums up a lot of Gilbert's comedy. In his final social media post, he was sticking up for comedians. On Instagram on March 28th, the day after the Oscars, Gilbert posted, "Which is the worst crime, Chris Rock being physically assaulted or Chris Rock telling a joke?" From the New York Post, Gilbert's publicist Glenn Schwartz shared that Gilbert succumbed to a heart abnormality called recurrent ventricular tachycardia, which is an arrhythmia caused by myotonic dystrophy type 2. People with DM are at a higher risk of irregular heartbeat. A sustained sped-up rhythm can cause a fatal drop in blood pressure. The New York Post says Gilbert's heart condition has been publicly known for some time. That hadn't hit my radar, but that's neither here nor there. And they pointed out that at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, Gilbert canceled a series of live appearances in Montana as his doctors reportedly advised that he refrain from flying during a viral outbreak due to his weakened heart. Kathy Griffin shared a photo. In the photo, Bob Saget, Louis Anderson, and Gilbert Gottfried. Kathy wrote, "Gilbert would be the first one to make a joke about this picture today. The first, and he would not hold back." And I think Kathy nailed it there. Dean Cook, "Gilbert Gottfried was never not funny. He was a lovely guy, always friendly, and made many people happy." Conan O'Brien said, "I saw Gilbert perform in 1985 when he entered to applause, and he said, 'Thank you very much.' He then continued to say thank you repeatedly for 10 full minutes. It was the nerviest, funniest thing I had seen. So sorry to lose this sweet and delightfully funny man." John Stewart, "R.I.P. Gilbert. Opening for Gilbert Gottfried at Caroline's and Princeton Catch was one of the great thrills of my early stand-up life. He could leave you gasping for breath, just indescribably, unusually hilarious. Damn." Amy Schumer, "Gilbert was so sweet, genuinely kind, a legend." Richard Lewis, "Gilbert, I don't want to believe this. I loved him. I'm heartbroken for his beautiful family. Say it ain't so. For almost 40 years, his spectacular comedy blew me away. You can't be funnier, my God. All who experience him are crushed. Say it ain't so." Whitney Cummings, "The kindest, funniest, most gentle legend. The world makes no sense if you're not in it." W. Kamau Bell, "Just a super nice person with a scathing wit, and I was always honored when he aimed that wit at me. He was both new school and old school at the same time. Rest in peace, Gilbert Gottfried." Jackie Cation, "Gilbert Gottfried is the only reason I would tell anyone to watch The Aristocrats. The tiny rage at the audience's response to his 9/11 joke that morphed into rage. Effing the audience with the aristocrat joke is unmatched." Doug Benson, "R.I.P. Gilbert Gottfried, make God uncomfortable." Jason Alexander, "Gilbert Gottfried made me laugh at times when laughter did not come easy. What a gift. I didn't know him well, but I loved what he shared with me. My best wishes and sympathy to his family." Tammy Pascatelli called Gilbert the sweetest, funniest man that cancel culture tried to destroy. Judd Apatow, "Nobody was a funnier man than Gilbert on a roll. He could put you in a convulsive hysterics. He was also the sweetest man. His podcast is a comedy treasure. What a terrible loss. Sending my condolences and love to Dara and his family." Brian Miller tweeted, "Somewhat lost in Gilbert Gottfried's legacy is his tenure hosting hilariously edited for TV cult movies on USA Up All Night. Was my entree into whole new worlds of weirdness and heavily censored depravity." Thank you, Brian, for bringing that up. So as I record this on Wednesday during the 8 a.m. hour, I feel like there's a lot more to come here. Personally, as I was doing the research here, I feel like the comedian mentions are underrepresentative so far. I think there's going to be a lot about Gilbert in the next few days. I've got some ideas of how I want to tackle that on the weekend. I met Gilbert a couple times, and I think from the reactions that I just read to you, the kindest, sweetest man. When you met Gilbert in real life, when he wasn't performing, he didn't talk like this. He was just, you know, hey, Gilbert, we're going to go down to Studio 3. Oh, okay, thanks very much. Soft-spoken, nice. But then he would turn it on and it would just be amazing. I'm a big fan of his podcast, which I had noticed since the beginning of the year they had been dropping a lot of rerun episodes, and it made me wonder. Didn't think about it too much, didn't have a conspiracy theory, but I did notice it. One of the episodes they dropped, and it might be the one at the top of the feed right now, is an encore presentation with Bob Costas. And one of the many things I do in my life is I teach a college class, and I actually have the students listen to that episode, because most people would interview Bob Costas and have him on and ask him about baseball. And Gilbert got a wonderful interview out of Costas talking about old time comedy, and it's one of my favorite podcasts of all time, so you definitely want to check that out. I also, and I've brought this up in the past too, I always enjoyed the way Gilbert wouldn't pay any attention at all on his podcast. The co-host Frank Santopadre really would carry the water on that podcast and steer the interview. And sometimes, and this didn't actually happen, but this is the vibe of what happens on that podcast, is a guest would tell a story and be like, you know, telling a story and then end with like, yeah, and you know, then my family died in a horrible fire and I really never got over it. And then Gilbert would jump in, right? So I have to back up. And then Gilbert would jump in. So let me pantomime it. You know, so then my family died in a horrible fire and I never really got over it. And you were on Hollywood Squares in 1974. Is that right? And it would just be like, did you not hear what the man just said? And it was just one of the wonderful things about that podcast. Gilbert Gottfried, fantastic. More to come. In 2012, after Daniel Tosh got in trouble for a rape joke, Gilbert Gottfried wrote a lengthy piece for CNN. This is from 2012. Gilbert writes, "If you don't want to hear an edgy joke, don't listen. If you've never in your life seen a comedian perform, here are the instructions. If a comedian tells a joke that you find funny, you laugh. If he tells a joke you don't find funny, don't laugh. Or you could possibly go as far as groaning or rolling your eyes. Then you wait for his next joke. If that's funny, then you laugh. If it's not, you don't laugh. Or at the very worst, you can leave quietly." This is the way going to see a comedian has worked for centuries. Some comedians tell nice jokes that you could tell to your kids. Some use bad words. They work blue. If you don't want to hear a joke that's blue, you shouldn't go to a comedy club where a comedian who makes blue jokes is performing. Let's jump back a few years, shall we? A few days after September 11, 2001, I was doing a friar's roast of Hugh Hefner in New York City. Outside, smoke was still in the air. People seemed very reserved and were not totally laughing at any of the comics that night. I wanted to be the first one to slap them out of it, and I said, "I have to leave early tonight. I'm flying to LA. I couldn't get a direct flight. We have to make a stop at the Empire State Building." No one in the history of comedy ever lost an audience more completely. You could hear chairs move back and murmuring through the crowd, gasping, groaning. One guy yelled, "Too soon!" which I thought meant I didn't take a long enough pause between the setup and the punchline. I'm laughing reading this. I figured there was no lower I could go, so I went to doing the aristocrats jokes. These are very blue. The crowd soon exploded with laughs and cheers. So, terrorism is shocking and in bad taste, but a joke about incest and bestiality is totally fine. Jump ahead a few years. Over the period in between, I've done several very poor taste jokes. Then the tsunami in Japan happened. It's all over the news with newscasters pretending it hits them personally. Newscasters really should get acting awards. Anyway, I figured I'd treat a natural disaster the same way I treated terrorism, with comedy. So I proceeded to tweet jokes about the tsunami. Many of them were actually quite silly. If there were anything to be outraged about, it would have been about how dumb the jokes actually were. I've always felt comedy and tragedy are roommates. If you look up comedy and tragedy, you will find a very old picture of two masks. One mask is tragedy. It looks like it's crying. The other mask is comedy. It looks like it's laughing. Nowadays, we would say, how tasteless and insensitive. A comedy mask is laughing at a tragedy mask. I'm returning from a job out of town. My agent says, "You're not going to print any more tsunami jokes, are you?" I look on the internet and on every news site it says, "Aflac fires Gilbert Gottfried." Of course, as is procedure when you make a joke nowadays, you must immediately make a public apology. So much as Tosh did with his rape jokes, I did with my tsunami jokes. People on the internet were screaming for my death. The news media jumped in, but of course their job is to make a mouse fart sound like it's a nuclear explosion. They reported on it and repeated my jokes, which seems odd. If what I said is so shocking and inexcusable, why are they repeating it? Well, it's to get asses in the seats. They referred to my jokes as comments and remarks, not jokes. Because if they did, any rational person would have said, so a comic made jokes? What's the story here? I've been telling jokes like this for a very long time, so the reaction surprised me. Aflac thought I was such an evil person and what I did so heinous that there was only one way to deal with it. Hire a new guy to imitate Gilbert Gottfried, pay him less, save a trainload of cash on commercials, thus bringing closure to this horrible tragedy. My favorite tweet that a fan sent me was, Aflac fires Gilbert Gottfried after discovering he's a comedian. George Carlin once said, it's the duty of a comedian to find out where the line is drawn and then step over it. And Gilbert's proper bio. Born in Brooklyn, New York on February 28, 1955, Gilbert started performing stand-up comedy at age 15. He was on Saturday Night Live during 1980. That's the lost season after Lorne Michaels and the original cast left. Gilbert was a very frequent guest on Howard Stern. I wonder what Howard will do because Howard had distanced himself. I don't think Gilbert's been on that show in a long time because, you know, new Howard, establishment Howard, the great interviewer, likes to just erase his past. I wonder what Howard is doing on the radio today about Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert would go on the Howard Stern show and impersonate people like Andrew Dice Clay, Groucho Marx, Bela Lugosi. I remember he would do a David Brenner that was pretty funny. He'd do a Jerry Seinfeld that was very funny. In 1992... he got the role as Iago the Parrot in Aladdin. His other major voice roles included Krang Subprime in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mr. Mixleplick in Superman, the animated series, Dr. Bender and his son Wendell in The Fairly Odd Parents. Also roles on SpongeBob, Ren and Stimpy, Duckman, and Disney's House of Mouse. In the 2000s and 2010s, he did a bunch of the celebrity roasts when that was a thing. In 2017, director Neil Berkeley created a documentary titled Gilbert. Film critic Owen Gleiberman reviewed it for Variety, saying, Gilbert displays no regrets. He has the courage of his abrasive conviction. He is a man who puts on his entire stand-up personality like a mothballed old suit, but once he's in character, he's never more himself. You may or may not walk away from Gilbert as a Gilbert Gottfried fan, but either way, the movie makes you glad he exists. Gilbert is survived by his wife Dara and his two children, Lily and Max. This was a bonus episode of the podcast for obvious reasons. The normal episode went out at 3:05 this morning. You can follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.